From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. When reconceptualizing a reinstallation of its collection, Atlanta's High Museum of Art looked to the community for inspiration. The recent rotation of works reflects Atlanta demographics, putting more art by women, people of color, and LGBTQ people on view. It's part of a push to change the overwhelming whiteness of most museum environments and make theirs more truly representative, accessible, and inclusive. Kevin Tucker is chief curator at the High Museum, and he's here to talk about the reinstallation, among other things, which is now open to the public. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Arts ATL contributor and host of a podcast for the Spelman College Museum of Art, Floyd Hall. Hello, Floyd.
Good morning.
So glad to have you here, both here. But Kevin, I'm going to start with you. How has the High Museum of Art's audience changed in recent years?
It's changed rather dramatically, and this has really been an initiative of ours in recent years, led by the museum's director, Rand Suffolk, since his arrival in fall of 2015, to redirect the museum's attention and resources to representing the diversity that is Atlanta, that is our state. And there have been great strides in that regard in terms of our audience and who is coming to the museum and reflecting people of color, certainly that correspond to the demographics of the city of Atlanta, even more so. Whereas before, the High was perhaps had an audience of somewhere around 15% people of color visiting. We are now at 45% to 50%, which certainly is much more in line with where the city of Atlanta is at 51% minority-majority representation. And that's really due to where we have shifted our programming, mm-hmm. and where we have underscored what we have been doing in previous years in terms of making inroads into developing the collections and exhibitions to represent that greater diversity.
Here's a little bit from Rand Suffolk, who took over, as you said, as the museum director, speaking to NPR about how they pulled that off three times the amount of diverse audience as when he started.
Our staff got together and they did a remarkable job of saying, you know, what should our voice be as an institution? And they came back and said, you know, we're a Southern institution. We're very proud of that. There should be more Southern hospitality in terms of the way we engage with people. There should perhaps be more humility about the way we're talking about ourselves and with individuals that are out there. And ultimately, we came up with a tagline called Here for You, that we just want to put it out there that everything that we do is really intended to be audience focused.
So the High diversified its docent pool, its ad campaign is multilingual, so trying to get locals in the door. But you, Kevin, joined when the rotation of its collection was happening, so they're pulling works unseen out of the collection. How does changing that physical space change the experience of somebody who visits?
Well, it was certainly a change that was long overdue for multiple reasons, and certainly one of the leading reasons, of course, is to better represent what the museum has been doing in the 13 years since its last reinstallation of the collection in 2005, and what the museum has been doing in terms of the curatorial program. It has been one to really show leadership in acquiring those works by artists of color, acquiring works by artists of different genders, and having a greater representation there. So that it was in many ways long overdue. And what we had to do in terms of our task was reflect that in the reinstallation. And where the collections were and what we were presenting was, where the museum was in the past. And so along with everything else that the museum has been doing programmatically, this was a logical next step for us to take. Now, it was very much a multi-year effort and a multi-pronged effort in terms of it's not simply one department doing something, but it was a complete reinstallation of the building from top to bottom. And
so what's an example of how it would look differently now?
Well, one of the things I'm especially proud of is what we were able to do by changing the physical location of certain collections and also changing the intellectual exchange between those collections. And I think it's perhaps most evident if you go to what is our top floor or skyway level of the Stent Wing, which is a Richard Meyer building, and the Whelan Pavilion, which is one of the Renzo Piano Pavilions. And you see the immediate relationship between aspects of our modern and contemporary collection and our folk and self-taught collections and our African art collections. And I think this is born out of a realization that we talked about, not only how do we give greater prominence to aspects of our collection, which are quite important. Certainly, all three of those collections, as well as others, they have important key works that are unique to the High that visitors here in Atlanta or visitors coming to Atlanta would want to see. But they're works of contemporary art, or they're mm-hmm. works of modern art, and they all are, regardless of whether they were made in Africa or whether they were made in Georgia or whether they were made anywhere in the world. And I think it was important for us to underscore that relationship. And certainly this is something that some of our sister institutions have been doing. And I think it gave us a chance to, say, for example, in our folk and self-taught collection, be able to present some of the gifts from the Souls Grown Deep Foundation from the other year within the context of modern and contemporary art. So there's you can walk into those galleries and see works by Thornton Dial. You can walk in to the folk and self-taught collections and see works of African art. You can see the African art in the folk and self-taught in terms of creating the connections in terms of the legacy of that work. And that was a very deliberate and very carefully considered decision on the museum's part.
Well, for full disclosure, my in-laws are heavily involved in the Souls Grown Deep Foundation and have been advocating for inclusion for many, many decades. So just want to make that clear. But Floyd, you've been to the new museum or the new look?
I have, yes.
So what do you notice when you walk in?
You know, I think there's always this overarching narrative around the High Museum and where it fits within Atlanta's cultural community. And so you mentioned the Skyway area there. I think that it's interesting to be able to go to and see the work in that space and see work from someone like Radcliffe Bailey, right? But then if you go to the art of you go to the Art of the Swats installation over near Greenbrier in the Westgate Shopping Center, and Radcliffe Bailey is on the wall over there.
Huh.
And so I think that there's always these different connections between the cultural legacy of a place and where the artists themselves end up. So I think that thinking about the work from that context, where the artists have come from, where they're going, but also just very much in an aesthetic way, it looks very visually stunning. I think that the pieces there are in a way, I think, reflective of what interests a lot of Atlantans right now. And so I think it was a great way, you know, a good a refresh, if you will.
Right. So one of the things that has happened in museum context before is this idea that there's a kind of barrier place between, you know, folk art, that's in one exhibition, that's in one place, self-taught artists, outsider art, you know, the kind of terms that were used
sure.
at one point to say that this is not quite high art, are all integrated into one space. So what does that mean to see that, to take that in?
You know, this notion of breaking down barriers, to me, again, you know, it speaks to intention. And how do you go about doing that? And so, again, if you're going into that area and you're seeing work by Carol Walker, you're seeing work by Lonnie Holly, by Thornton Dow Sr., Richard Lockett. But then if you went to Afropunk a couple of weeks ago and Lonnie Holly's studio is over at that, I guess, that venue space there, you know, again, it just shows you where the artists themselves are situated. For those who are still living, but then also where their work ends up. And so I think it creates a different level of accessibility to the work in some of these more quote-unquote mainstream spaces.
That's Floyd Hall. He's Arts ATL contributor. Kevin Tucker, chief curator for the High Museum in Atlanta, is also with us. I want to pick up on that what you said about SWATs. This is the Southwest Atlanta. There's a City of Atlanta program. It's Elevate, I think is the name of
Elevate,
the program.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that they did, T.I., the rapper, became a curator of art for the community. And you spoke with the artist that he collaborated with. His name is Austin Blue. Let's hear what he had to say.
I didn't really realize until after I already started painting, like how many people were from this area. I mean, I met Miss Jackson from, you know, the Outkast song, I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson. I met Miss Jackson.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
That kind of got me hyped, you know, when I found out that there was a lot of rich musical history down here.
So there's a real connection to place, obviously. But, you know, so he said he didn't know what went on in that neighborhood. What happens when a public mural, a public piece of art, something that comes up and suddenly connects people to a different sense of place?
Well, hopefully you get a reset in terms of what people know about an area. And so I think T.I. is kind of having a big public art or just artistic moment right now besides just his music. So you have this collaboration, which is the Art of the Swatts House for Elevate, where Austin Blue did a mural, and then T.I. curated the wheat paste images that are on top of that mural. And so you have a wide range of artists who have a connection to Southwest Atlanta or just that surrounding area. And so if you were to drive by that area now, this one building pops up or pops out, if you will, amidst a bit of a, you know, gray backdrop. And so for those who live in the area, they know there's a strong cultural history there, right? But if you were to drive by now, that may not be as apparent. And so what the city of Atlanta did, Austin Blue, T.I., they are creating a moment where folks can go and see some of the folks who've come from that area. So you have a Radcliffe Bailey. You have a Killer Mike, a T.I., you have a Ludacris, Outkast, obviously, Goody Mob, Monica, 2 Chainz. And so you're able to visually represent to people what this area has been. And also, I think maybe harken back to some of the more vibrant cultural times when you look at that plaza where you had a Mr. V's Figure Eight, where you had a My Brother's Keeper, which were foundational places in Black culture in that area that really signaled community and place. And I think through visual art, some of these narratives are able to be told. And I think T.I. is really embracing the visual arts in a way now that maybe he has not before, because in addition to this, he's also curating the Trap Music Museum,
right,
which is a whole nother narrative, but also is visually telling the story of this very important subgenre of hip hop music in Atlanta.
Well, Kevin, the Killer Mike is on the board now of the High Museum of
Art. Yes, indeed.
But, you know, getting the community input, you're a curator. Obviously, you're concerned with the way that the museum is presented, its status, I think. And art history has been dominated by white European painters, let's face it.
Yeah.
Art that is valued, it gets higher sale prices, has meant higher status for museums. So what does this calculation mean for a museum now focused on diversifying its collection?
Well, I think it's an obligation that falls not only to the High, it falls to all art museums and all participants in all aspects of the art world, whether from the commercial side or from the nonprofit sector and the educational sector, to diversify our outlook. It's not a question of why are you doing this? It is more of a question of why not be doing this for all of us. And certainly what the High is doing, we're not alone in taking these steps, but it's a long road ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Because as you pointed out, there are hundreds of years, if not millennia, of biases in what is selected. And ultimately, art museums are about making those selections and choices, and in my profession, curating, if you want to use it as a verb, or being a curator and making those choices. And it's well past the time for curators and for others in the field to be making better choices and opening their eyes and looking further afield to works that have been neglected. And this is true not only in the contemporary realm, but in historic art, and that's something that I've charged the curators to consider as well, is that for as much as we want to engage with artists in our community and artists nationally and internationally, and I think that's certainly a strength that the High brings to Atlanta, is being able to look at artists, whether they're truly from right here in the city or in Georgia or beyond, and putting them into this international context. But I've charged the curators dealing with historic art to do the same, and to look deeper, and to research more, and to explore more. And I've been, you know, very proud to see works come into the collection by artists that have been neglected in the past. When we acquired this amazing sculpture that's from a Harlem Renaissance artist, William Artis, who was a sculptor and a ceramicist, and it's this, you know, beautiful, lovely head of a young woman, and very powerful and very moving piece. But you know, it's from 1930s work. Right. It's an earlier work, and you know, these are works that are difficult to find because they're not readily identified. There are collectors certainly that have a passion for the work, but there need to be more works like that in museums. They need to be recognized. They need to be chosen and selected and amplified and elevated to our community so that we understand the rich history and the legacy of artists of color and women artists who have been working just as long as any of those men.
So. Well, we have to close, and we're right up against a break. So one thing, when you walk into the museum now, what is the thing that's most gratifying for you to see?
I think it doesn't really matter unless the people respond to it, and that truly is the most satisfying. You know, we could have done all of this work, and you know, what if no one shows up? But instead, it's the faces, and it's the joy and seeing what people take away from seeing these expressions of creativity.
Kevin Tucker, Chief Curator for the High Museum of Atlanta. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Floyd Hall, we're going to be hearing more from you in the future. He's going to keep an eye on arts on the ground for us, but thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
He's ATL Arts ATL contributor and host of the Blacklanta podcast. Coming up, Lauren Groff on her novel, Florida, just nominated for a National Book Award.